mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dearly beloved in Christ Jesus our Lord, who am I to preach? Who am I that I should deign to come into this pulpit and to speak unto you words which I claim come from God? Who am I that I dare to preach? Who are you, illustrious faculty and staff of this institution, that you dare to preach and teach the Word of God? Who are you, students, studying for the ministry, who will go out and seek to preach and teach the Word of God in parishes throughout this land, throughout this world? Who are we that we should arrogate to ourselves this fearsome, awesome task of preaching? With what right, with what authority do we preach and teach? Who are we that we should speak of the mighty deeds of God? We are men, not learned and wise, not great or powerful, that we are called or will be called to an awesome, wondrous task, to preach the word. It behooves us, therefore, to ask this question: who are we to preach? With what authority do we preach? With what authority do we preach and defend the gospel of Christ? It is an important question for us on this day, following the day of the conversion of St. Paul, for we at this seminary are dedicated to the task of training ministers for preaching the gospel of Christ. This seminary is to prepare men to be ministers of word and sacrament, to train men to preach and to teach the living word of God, to administer the visible word of the sacrament. Soon many of you, having successfully completed, by God's grace, the theological interview, will receive a divine call. You will have been approved by this faculty as worthy in all respects to enter the office of the Holy Ministry. You will go forth to serve God's people. But what authority will you preach? How will you defend and proclaim the gospel? Dear brethren of the faculty, you have received the divine call to teach and to preach the word of God. With what authority do you teach and preach? Today's lesson, taken from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Christians at Galatia, answers these questions. For in it, Paul is defending the authority that he has to preach the gospel which was revealed unto him. The churches of Galatia, which had been founded by Paul during his earlier ministry, his earlier trips, were in turmoil. Paul had come to them and had preached the word of God, which had been revealed to him, to which he was called to minister by Jesus Christ himself in a most miraculous way. Churches were troubled because into their midst had come those arguing that Paul was not a worthy minister of Christ. They questioned his message and his authority. They said, you must really maintain obedience to the Jewish cultic law if you are to be a true Christian, a real Christian. These Judaizers questioned the message of St. Paul and challenged his authority. Word had come back to Paul, and he wrote to them this very first of his epistles. This letter which defends mightily that it is by grace ye are saved and not by the deeds of the law, in which he sets forth that we are saved by the grace of God through faith. He reiterates the message he preached to them and takes great pains in these first verses of the first two chapters to establish his authority. If we are to preach the word, we ought to know then the authority we have. And in looking at these verses, the Epistle of St. Paul to the Galatians, let us see in the example of St. Paul an example for our life and our ministry and our preaching. In this letter, in these opening verses, St. Paul reiterates, as we heard yesterday, that his call was from God. That which he preached was from God, and the task of preaching was ordered by God. The gospel which he preached was one which God revealed to St. Paul, and no man. So from no man that Christ or that St. Paul heard this gospel, but rather it was from Jesus Christ himself who turned Paul around, converted him, brought him, and instructed him, and then sent him forth to preach that gospel of reconciliation to all men. And Paul obeyed. Paul fulfilled that task which God had given to him and preached that gospel which God had entrusted to him. But there were those who rose up in the church and said, Paul, who are you to preach the gospel? Who are you who so recently persecuted the Christian to preach this gospel? With what right do you, a former Pharisee and a former persecutor of the people of God, claim now to preach the message of reconciliation? Paul's ministry and preaching was challenged by those who saw him to be no fit preacher. Paul admits that he had persecuted the Christians. He does not seek to hide what he was. He appropriates it in defense of the word which he preached. For if anyone knew about the law, it is I, a Pharisee. Yet it is not I who turned myself around and gave me a new truth, but it is God in me who preaches the truth of the gospel. Paul rests the authority of what he preaches and what he is upon the authority of the gospel. He had trouble with the congregation in Galatia, and he had troubles elsewhere. And he used his experience elsewhere to defend his position in and among the Galatians. Paul also turned to the church authority. He was respectful of the authority of those whom Christ had called in this life to be his ministers. He came before the church and received their approval and their sanction. To be sure, even in the midst of those councils of the disciples, there came some who again questioned Paul's authority. And it's interesting that Paul, who elsewhere could bristle and attack those who questioned his authority, here is quite courteous and respectful, quietly but forcefully, maintaining the truth which he knew and believed from the Word of God. He refused to be bowed by those who considered themselves greater than he, and once again turned to that message he received, to the gospel, to defend himself, and to maintain and defend the truth that he was preaching. With grace, he preached and defended his word, the word of God. He knew that God had called him to be a minister in a very special way to very special people, to the Gentiles. He was conscious of what God was doing in and through him. And in doing and fulfilling his mission, he relied totally and completely upon the message that God in Christ redeemed all mankind. His authority was the authority of the gospel and that alone. What about us? Do we trust solely in the gospel? Is our preaching and our teaching governed and patterned and molded and shaped and is the gospel? For that is the only authority we have. Now, certainly, the gospel which we preach did not come to us directly and immediately as it came to St. Paul. We receive that gospel message immediately through the word of Holy Scripture, through the word which is preached, through the word made visible. But it is the self-same gospel and carries with it the self-same authority which gave Paul the right, indeed the duty, to preach. Paul went to the apostles, and his message and ministry was sanctioned, confirmed by the apostles at the first council in Jerusalem. We too go to the church. We receive a sanction, an approval, a certification, so that the church might know that those who come to preach and teach are preaching and teaching the word of God and are to be received as faithful stewards, faithful messengers of the means of grace. We are to go and preach with courtesy, but also conviction. We here frequently have controversies among ourselves. You will face controversy in your congregation. There is no doubt about that. And you will have to preach and to defend your authority. Grasp the gospel, for that is your only authority preach the gospel. That is the only message. But preach it with courtesy and kindness to those who in your congregation question your authority. Speak to them, certainly with the words of the law, but even more with the sweeter milk of the gospel, so that they might be gained for Christ through the power of God. You will have difficulties with church authority, with church counselors or district presidents or seminary faculty, and treat them with respect and courtesy and kindness, even as Paul treated the elders in Jerusalem with respect and courtesy and kindness. Maintain the truth, hold fast to that truth, and preach it as Paul preached it. Be aware of that mission which you have to preach the word of God to the people in the place where God has sent you. He has sent you not to all places, but to specific people in a specific place at a specific time. Preach to them fully and completely, certain of your authority that God has sent you there to minister to them and to serve them the word of life. He has not called you to govern all churches or to teach all churches or to be the leader of all churches. But to those people whom God has entrusted their salvation to you, give the word of life, give direction, and preach the full authority and truth of the gospel. Who are we to preach? What is our authority? It is not the authority of our wisdom, for we are not wise. It is not the authority of our knowledge, for we are all very ignorant. It is not the authority of our good works or our great piety, though we pray God that we might by his grace do good works and be pious. The authority of our preaching is this: the gospel of Jesus Christ. Therefore, that which has been entrusted to us, this very same gospel, let us preach fearlessly, clearly, truly, and courteously to those whom God has entrusted to our care. And may the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our living Lord.